Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show. While our long format episodes explore one hiking trail and one national park, one park at a time, Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
That's right. And this Trail Mix episode is all about manifest destiny as it relates to the history of this nation and how this concept's roots dive deeper into history than one might imagine.
If you listen to our last Trail Mix episode titled Gateway to the West, we talked a lot about the Louisiana Purchase and its impact on the city of St. Louis, as well as Lewis and Clark and how their journey impacted not only the future of the nation of America, but the indigenous people of this land.
While the Louisiana Purchase certainly pushed the boundaries of the nation west, it didn't complete the puzzle that ultimately became the lower 48. But it continued a trend that fell under the auspices of Manifest Destiny.
All right, so what do you remember about Manifest Destiny from school?
I mean, I remember being taught it, and I remember there was just so much talk of religion and just like how like it was divinely meant for people to go to the West and settle. Like it was all just
propaganda.
God, it's like, I remember learning it in school and being like, we're not going to like stop and talk about how this is a problem. It was just, oh, okay, accepted, moved on. Honestly, I went to a Catholic elementary school and I was like, why are we learning about this in history? Like, we should be learning, this feels like a religion
class topic
or a religion unit topic, or you know, like when we're learning religion or whatever, that's what it should be, right? It all just felt kind of like, why is this here? Why is this here? What about you?
I mean, I definitely remember it. I liked history a lot. That was one of my favorite subjects in school, and I still very much enjoy it. But I do remember it feeling very kind of like icky, and like, I mean, a lot of American history is incredibly icky, but this felt like, ooh man, this was like a blank check for people to just do whatever the hell they wanted to anyone they encountered on the way west. Was not great.
No.
So what is Manifest Destiny? Essentially, it was the belief that it was the divine will of the Creator that Americans should settle the continent and prosper. This was essentially by any means necessary, as we would see unfold in the history of the nation through war, annexation, erasure, purchase, and treaty, but not necessarily in that order.
Another way that it could be looked at is through the lens of American exceptionalism. Please prepare yourself for some retching sound effects. American exceptionalism is the belief that America occupies a special place among the countries of the world. Barf. I'm barfing. That's horrible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ah!
Yeah.
No. Okay. Okay. This is the true definition of the child that needs all the gold stars to feel special. Stop trying to make Manifest Destiny happen, Gretchen. It's never going to happen, except it absolutely did happen.
The term itself wasn't coined until 1845, when journalist John O'Sullivan wrote, quote, the right of our manifest destiny to overspread and to possess the whole of the continent which Providence has given us for the development of this great experiment of liberty and federative development of self-government entrusted to us. It is right such as that of the tree to the space of air and the earth suitable for full expansion of its principle and destiny of growth. Yeah, it doesn't get much better.
Okay, this was furthered as a term later in 1846 when in the House of Representatives, Representative Robert C. Winthrop of Massachusetts said the following of the Oregon Territory, quote, I mean that new revelation of right, which has been designated as the right of our manifest destiny to spread over this whole continent. It has been openly avowed in a leading administration journal that this, after all, is our best and strongest title, one so clear, so preeminent, and so indisputable that if Great Britain had all our other titles in addition to her own, they would weigh nothing against it. The right of our manifest destiny. There is a right for a new chapter in the law of nations, or rather in the special laws of our own country, for I suppose the right of a manifest destiny to spread will not be admitted to exist in any nation except the universal Yankee nation, end quote.
So,
blah. Yikes.
Blah.
Yikes.
I think we all know what the political leanings of this podcast are.
I mean, right.
But I mean, this is all just like, I feel like this is the MAGA playbook. Like,
it's entirely the
absolutely
MAGA playbook.
Like,
it's the Republican nationalist, Christian nationalist playbook. The I am entitled to this because the Lord said so.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of like, I'm sorry. No. Lord never said that. Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but all of y'all,
I mean,
like, collectively,
Lord the Singer might have, but not Lord the Singer.
But Lord the Singer didn't say
that. No, she would never say that.
I remember Mel Gibson accurately, and he didn't say that.
Right.
But like this idea that like we all just collectively decide that like the Lord has said something or like provided us something or entitled us to something. It is the thing that causes death. It is the thing that causes hate. It is the thing that causes erasure. Yep. It's the thing that causes genocide.
Yeah.
Is when a whole bunch of people decide that the Lord has all told them the same thing. And that has happened time and time and time and time again.
Religion.
Religion. The audacity.
It is.
The audacity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The audacity when there were other people living across all of the land that they're speaking of.
Yes.
Peacefully.
Yep.
And have been for hundreds and some thousands of years.
Mm-hmm. But it's American exceptionalism that will lead the course and strike out a future for all.
I swear.
White people.
I can't. The American exceptionalism thing, it's very, very blinding to most people.
Yeah.
Most people here in this land called America. Because the rest of the world thinks we're ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, other countries.
We are the reality show for the rest of the world.
We are the Florida for the rest of the world. Yeah. And, like, we're over here just wiling out while people are like, okay, well, government's goal here is to protect the people that, you know, it serves. And so we need to, you know, create laws that and, you know, create governance that, you know, helps to support them.
Yeah.
And not saying that everybody is perfect. Obviously,
no.
We have so many examples of that not being perfect that are all over the world. But what I'm saying is that America is just a laughing stock so much because of that. And it's so rooted in that. It's so rooted in
we're special.
That manifest destiny bullshit. Hey everybody, we are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon Travel Guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon Travel Guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon Travel Guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners.
But here's the thing about manifest destiny. This term, while not around until the mid-19th century, was something that had been around since the dawn of the nation, and even predated that. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's chat about the founding of this country.
Really quick, though, I do have to say, Dawn of a Nation, great track name. If we remember our history, the first of our colonizing ancestors arrived in this land, also known as America, as a way to escape religious persecution. In fact, the belief that these settlers would survive in the New World would be a sign of God's will, essentially giving them sanctified Christian carte blanche to continue to go forth and multiply and impart their faith unto others, spreading across the land to do so.
Obviously, religious persecution in Europe started the wheels in motion that led to the colonies being founded, expansion across the East Coast, turmoil in the New World, war, and eventual freedom from the European powers that be. But if we want to further talk about manifest destiny as an American concept from the 18th century forward, in order to do so, we have to first pause and examine the European powers that be in the pre-American Revolutionary War world.
A rose by any other name would smell as sweet. Pen Shakespeare, but in this case of European empire building, we might say a manifest destiny by any other name would smell as rotten.
In order to better understand manifest destiny in America, you needn't look that far from the apple tree. European nations were vastly interested in expanding their empires from the middle of the 15th century onward. One of the worst offenders of this was a tiny isle from which America wrested its independence, Great Britain.
The phrase, "the sun never sets on the British Empire," was one made factually correct because during the height of its expanse in 1920, Britain's empire covered a quarter of the Earth's landmass. Yikes.
A great deal of this power and dominance began during the Age of Discovery in the 15th century and continued into the 20th century. More to come on that later. If America was getting any ideas regarding expansion, it was doing it from places its people had once come from. And it wasn't just Britain. France, Spain, Portugal, and the Netherlands all made claims to land in the Western Hemisphere.
Multiple wars between these major players left a great deal of the North American continent split between France, Britain, and Spain. But that in no way meant that the rest of the continents and countries of the world weren't still up for grabs.
Through divine will, the pilgrims reached the new land. Through providence, they survived and won their independence. What then was stopping them from continuing to conquer the land they partially occupied? A large land purchase, a war, and several treaties later, and by the middle of the 19th century, the puzzle pieces of the contiguous U.S. all fit together.
But this was not without dilemma for the new and ever-expanding nation of the United States, the indigenous people of the Western states, and the residents of colonies that once belonged to other nations.
While manifest destiny allowed America to become a world power by dominating the land from sea to shining sea, with every push westward, The question of slavery, which would eventually push the nation towards civil war, became ever more present.
As states continued to be added to the Union, a delicate balance of slave and free states needed to be maintained in order to satisfy both sides of the argument. The first test of this came with the addition of Missouri as a slave state. In order to balance this, Maine was added as a free state.
With the Compromise of 1850, as more land had been added to the nation, more concessions needed to be made in order to satisfy the powers that be regarding slavery. Specifically, that California would be added as a free state, New Mexico and Utah, which were newly added territories after the Mexican-American War, were added without any specific mention of slavery, and the buying and selling of slaves was abolished in Washington, D.C.
These compromises would eventually all be for naught, as the Civil War would write the course in all of it, effectively undermining and ending the policy of slavery within the country. Would this eventually have all come to a head if not for the expansion of the country? Hopefully, yes. But the addition of the land to prove American excellence definitely hastened the steps toward it.
And then there's the matter of the native people of the newly acquired land. With each addition, through treaty or purchase, the indigenous people suffered greatly. Mostly this would come in the form of erasure, erasure through genocide, or through relocation.
If we take Manifest Destiny in America back to the time of the Revolutionary War, while indigenous people fought on both sides, Moore sided with the British as they kept the colonists within their bounds and helped to maintain their way of life therein. While this may have worked out just as poorly for the indigenous people of the land, also known as the United States, had the British won, they hedged their bets on a more organized force in empire building.
American settlers were known to push the boundaries of what land was theirs. In Florida and Texas, to name two states that could also appear on a list of states with regressive policies, Americans originally pushed into these territories and worked to rebel against the controlling nations.
In Florida, it was the Spanish, and in Texas, it was the Mexican people. These moves worked to secure even more territory for the nation, despite the fact that damages may need to be paid to a foreign government or that a two-year-long war may need to be fought. It didn't matter. Manifest Destiny, baby.
But where did this leave the indigenous people? Well, quite frankly, in a really awful spot that only got more and more awful. Indigenous people of the land known as America were people whose rich culture and economy was based on trade and a trade of things from the earth.
Indigenous people utilized the land to its fullest, and as colonizers pushed ever westward, this utilization of land became more and more difficult as most indigenous people were marched from their homelands throughout the 1800s and placed on reservations.
According to the National Congress of American Indians, quote, most tribal lands will not readily support economic development. Many reservations are located far away from the tribe's historical, cultural, and sacred areas, as well as from traditional hunting, fishing, and gathering areas, end quote.
As people of the land, this greatly upended their way of life, from accessing and participating in sustenance-based economies to losing their sacred lands to colonizing settlers. The indigenous people of the land, also known as America, are some of the biggest casualties of the push ever westward, especially from a nation that not only robbed them of their land rightfully theirs, but continued to demoralize them through broken treaties and promises after the fact.
So let's talk about Manifest Destiny as capitalism, because baby, that's all it is. It's like capitalism dressed up as religion.
Yeah.
But I think that's also religion a lot of the time. It's a flow between the two. Sorry, saying it here. Uh-huh. The truth hurts everybody.
I mean, the biggest sort of red flag in America is the fact that religious institutions or churches don't have to pay taxes.
Right, right.
Red flag, right? Yeah, I mean, religion, being in bed with capitalism, being in bed with
government,
nationalism, all of it together, right?
Uh-huh.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about this. We've been saying this a lot. Like, oh, America is just a business.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's true.
To live here is just to participate in the as a cog in capitalism.
A very tiny cog
in
the capitalist wheel.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You're a faceless cog in the capitalism wheel.
Yeah.
And it's just, all of it just sort of plays a part in that.
Yeah. As we mentioned earlier, Manifest Destiny is older than the nation itself, what we would call empire building in the Age of Exploration. Much of this empire building led to Manifest Destiny in the New World.
But like a bad penny that keeps showing up, Manifest Destiny was never uniquely American, and it in no way continued to be. While in the 15th through 18th centuries, this form of expansion was mostly centered in the Western Hemisphere. In the 19th century, as European nations looked to continue to expand, they turned their sights toward Africa, Asia, and the Middle East.
While their reasoning may have differed from their initial exploration and from that of America's hard up to have an empire that stretched from ocean to ocean, the root of this new expansion, this imperialism of the 19th century, rang familiar tones.
From economic reasons to a mandate from God to the belief in social Darwinism, where white Europeans believe themselves to be better than those of different skin tones, Manifest Destiny continued on. I guess if the money-hungry, racist, God-loving shoe fits and it's unoccupied, then some awful group of white people are going to find him, put him on, lace him the fuck up, and walk onto some land that isn't theirs.
The sources for today's episode include the article, The Origin Story, Manifest Destiny's Creation of Economic Deserts and the Devastation of Subsistence Economy by Stephanie Coate on nefe.org. The article, The Origin of Manifest Destiny by Julius W. Pratt from the American Historical Review and the Smithsonian American Art Museum.
This has been Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by us, Dustin Ballard, and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. And that's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang. This episode was edited by me, Dustin Ballard.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we are on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as Middlesex County, New Jersey.